So the message is changed around on short notice. I've entitled this, "Have You Had Your White Funeral Yet?" It's going to be based on spiritual gifts of 1 Corinthians 12, 1 to 11. Before I start with that, I'm going to begin with a little story about a man who got fed up with the world and the worldly ways, so he decided to run off and join a monastery. Now, in this monastery, he had to agree to the vow of silence. And every 7 years, he was allowed to say only 2 words. So after the first 7 years, he showed up with the abbot, the head monk, in the office, and he asked him, "What are your 2 words? And he said, "Bad food." So another 7 years goes by, and he comes back, same abbot, same office. "What are your 2 words? He said, "Hard head." So after 21 years, he shows up again to the same abbot, same head monk, the same office. And he said, "What are your 2 words now?" He said, "I quit." The head monk said, "Well, I figured as much. All you've done is complain since you've got here." It's an interesting story, but as I reflected on that throughout the week, it's very, very profound, isn't it? We can almost prophesy with our own words. And there's a man, one that escaped from the world into a spiritual setting, and the flesh still had a good grip on his heart and on his soul. So the spiritual life forgets troubles as easily as the fleshly life forgets blessings. Being the lay leader for a while, lots of complaints coming from the church, and I myself had made a lot of complaints. I was wondering what would change in my life if instead of an attitude of complaining, all along I had an attitude of gratitude. How my life would be different. How the church would be different. How our marriages would be different. How our country would be different. So, my question, have you had your white funeral yet? Or are you sacredly playing the fool with your soul? Have you come to the end of carnality? Really? Ask yourself this question. Is the flesh first, or is the spirit? Really? Charles Spurgeon did a 22-page sermon entitled, "The Carnal Mind is Enmity Against God." I know. What does enmity mean? Well, from the story I gave in the beginning, we can find how profound words actually are. So I looked up enmity in the old Webster's Dictionary, and here's what it said. A bitter feeling enemies have. Wow. So Spurgeon's sermon was 22 pages long. Thank goodness I'm only going to read a little excerpt here to get a better handle on it. I was amazed at Charles Spurgeon. He did all of these sermons and he never used any footnotes. It was all spoken by the power of the Holy Spirit. That intrigued me. So there was no difficulty in understanding my text. It needs scarcely any explanation. We all know the word carnal here signifies fleshly. The old translators rendered this passage thus: the mind of the flesh is enmity against God. That is to say, the natural mind, that soul which we inherit from others, that which was born within us when our bodies were fashioned by God. That fleshly mind, the pronema sarcos, the lust, the passions of the soul, it is this which has gone astray from God and became enmity against him. But before we enter upon a discussion of the doctrine of the text, observe how strongly the apostle expresses it. The carnal mind, he says, is enmity against God. He uses a noun and not an adjective. He does not say it is opposed to God merely, but it is positive enmity. It is not black, but blackness. It is not an enmity, but enmity itself. It is not corrupt, but corruption. It is not rebellious, but rebellion. It is not wicked, it is wickedness itself. The heart, though it be deceitful, is positively deceit. It is evil in the concrete, sin in the essence. It is distillation, all things that are vile. So distillation is when you purify something. So enmity is pure vileness to God. It is not envious against God, it is envy. It is not enmity, it is actually enmity itself. A bitter feeling enemies have. So at our salvation, we received the gift of the Holy Spirit. That happened to me actually in this church some over 40 years ago. And I realized rather quickly at that point the battle begins. It's between God and the world. Pride, idolatry, between flesh and the spirit. As we go through this process, which one wins? The answer, the one that gets fed the most. So when we eat regular food, our bodies get satisfied. But when we eat of spiritual food, our bodies hunger and want more and more and more spiritual food. So if you want to win the battle, if you want to go through your process from the old man to the new man, put more spiritual things, more spiritual reading, more spiritual songs, more spiritual fellowship, and then we can start using our gifts. 1 Peter 4 puts away. God has given gifts to each of us from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Manage them well so that God's generosity can flow through you. Not to stay with you, to flow through you. Not like the Dead Sea and become corrupt. Let all of the blessings flow through us. All men and women possess special gifts bestowed from the Father above. You and I are no exceptions. But your gift is no guarantee of success. It must be cultivated. It must be nurtured. Otherwise, it will go unused and God's gift will be squandered. So today, make a promise to yourself that you will earnestly seek to discover your talents that God has given you. Then nourish those talents and make them grow. Finally, vow to share your gifts with the world, the hurting world, for as long as God gives you the power to do so. After all, the best way to thank God for all the gifts he has given us is to use them. Develop an attitude of gratitude. A.W. Tozer, noted theologian, Bible teacher, puts it this way. All throughout Scripture, it is clear that God gives his gifts freely, but he will require a strict accounting of them at the end of the road. Is there a place, a memory, an extraordinary grateful experience when you said yes to God? When you started paying attention to the sanctification process? When the burial of the old fleshly life began, that is your white funeral. So many years ago, I accepted Jesus as my Savior right here in that second pew right there on Christmas. And I was a little unusual because my sanctification process, my white funeral, took 12 to 15 years to. I gladly gave Jesus my Savior. I had a hard time getting rid of some fleshly things and giving them the Lord of my life. So I remember it well. It was downstairs at a lay witness when something overcame me. The power of the Holy Spirit overcame me and I said, I am tired of fighting you, Lord. That was when I gave up my enmity. And then I said, I want to fight for you. That was my lordship. That was my being born again experience. That is when my whole life changed for the better. And as I look back, I don't regret a single moment about it. So, the flesh complains, but the spirit thanks. God gives us gifts. It's up to us to develop those gifts. It's up to us to use them and develop that attitude of gratitude. Now, being that God is with us, all things are possible. And I can say that because this knucklehead right here went a long, long way. If God can work where my life was to where my life is, and he's still not done with me. This is not a 40-yard dash. It's a marathon. It's going to be a while until Jesus comes back for us, this growing process. So now, as we leave today, please make up your mind. Have that attitude of gratitude. Develop your spiritual gifts. What a wonderful place, what a wonderful church this would be if each of us used the gifts God gave us. Think about it.